Okay, we're in the book of Acts. We pick it up in Acts chapter 16, verse 21. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 16, let's actually begin reading in verse 19. Paul and Silas are on the second missionary journey, and they met up with this woman who was demon-possessed. And she made a lot of money for her owners through soothsaying and other occult practices predicting the future. Paul got sick and tired of her testifying to the fact that Jesus is the way to heaven. And so he drove the demon out, which put an end to that and also put an end to her money-making ventures for her owners, and they were upset. And so it says in verse 19, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace to the rulers. So they're making a big deal out of this now because she's not making money for them anymore. All of a sudden, the gospel has hit them in the pocketbook. And that usually gets a reaction. 20. And brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. I don't know about that. Nobody else seemed to be bothered by them, but they certainly troubled these men who lost a bundle. Anyway, they're stirring up trouble. 21. It says, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Now, it says they laid many stripes on them. Doesn't say how many. In the law of Moses, God had a law that stated for the Jews, for the Israelites, you couldn't whip a criminal more than 39 times. Well, the Romans didn't have a law like that. They could beat somebody to death if they wanted to. There was no limit how many times they might whip a criminal. Consequently, Paul and Silas get a severe beating because they preached the word of God. 24. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. They were whipped until their backs looked like shredded paper. They were then thrown into a filthy, varmint-infested prison. They were laid on their backs on a filthy, dirty dirt floor with their legs spread as wide as they could spread them, and then locked into that position. That's their situation. And I wanted you to understand that before we read verse 25, which says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. So they were worshiping God in this miserable situation. And you know, the other prisoners who didn't know Jesus were listening to Paul and Silas while they were in this painful situation praising God. We never know who's watching us, who is observing us and taking note of how we as Christians are handling our troubles. But how we respond to God in miserable situations determines if we are a good or a bad testimony. And certainly Paul and Silas were being a really good testimony here. 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. So Paul and Silas sing praise to God in the midst of their misery, and God immediately delivered them. Just by miracle. They didn't ask for it. They didn't pray for it. But God did it anyway. They were worshiping him. We need to praise God at all times. even when things are horrible. Praise him because he deserves it. Now, if he intervenes and makes things better, that's a bonus. But either way, God deserves our praise at all times. Verse 27. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors opened, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But, you know, they didn't take off on him. Suicide is a sin. But in that particular culture, it was considered an honorable way to die, especially if death was imminent anyway. And death was definitely imminent here with this guard, because any guard who allowed his prisoner to escape was executed by Rome. Now, he was going to save them the trouble. 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." The jailer had been Paul's enemy. But Paul didn't care. He didn't want him to die and go to hell, so he stepped in and stopped him from killing himself. 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Verse 30 says, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This man had been on the very edge of hell, seconds away from entering into eternal hellfire. But because Paul cared, he's now on the edge of salvation. When he saw Paul praising God in his miserable condition, that made an impression. And he figured if anyone had the true religion, it was the apostle. And so he said, "You know, what do I have to do to be saved?" If we don't live right, then no one is going to listen when we talk about Jesus. But he's listening to Paul. Verse 31. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and your house." Now, some people say, "Oh, I mean, just believe the facts about Jesus and you're saved." That means I'm saved, because I believe that there was a historical Jesus who died on the cross. No, that's not what that means, because the devils believe that, and they're not saved. Receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and trusting, that's what believing means, trusting in his finished work on the cross is what it means to believe in Christ. That's how one is saved. And so the jailer now knows what to do. It's up to him to choose to do it. He's been given the answer. 32, and they spoke to him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, immediately. So the whole household, the whole family was baptized. And I want you to notice something here before we move on. The apostles did many miracles in the early days to validate the message of Christ. But they could not do them anytime they wanted. They didn't have that power. They couldn't free themselves from prison by declaring a miracle. They couldn't heal their wounds by declaring a miracle. The effects of their brutal beating would have to be healed the old-fashioned way, through time and whatever medication they may have had. 34, and when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his household. This man's life is completely changed. This man and his entire family are feeling great because all of them received Jesus Christ. And that's a great beginning, a great new beginning for this family. They're happy. You know, receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and living for him is the key to a happy family. It's not that complicated. Being filled with the Holy Spirit will give you joy and peace and unselfishness, And it's pretty easy to get along whenever anyone is acting like that. So that's why there's harmony. 35. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants, saying, "Let those men go." Scared by the earthquake, you know. The officials knew that they were dealing with a power a lot bigger than they could handle, so they sent word that Paul and Silas should be released. 36. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "And the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out secretly? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and bring us out." It was illegal for Paul, who was a Roman citizen, to be bound and beaten without a fair trial, and he's not going to overlook what they did to him. Christians shouldn't break the law, but we shouldn't allow civil government to violate our constitutional rights either. Verse 38. And the sergeants told these words to the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. Oh, you bet they were afraid. They were afraid with good reason, because any official who violated the rights of a Roman citizen was executed. See, Rome played hardball, didn't they? And these guys were in such a hurry to beat Paul and Silas and throw them into prison that they didn't even do their homework to see if they were Roman citizens or not. And they could pay dearly for that. They're in big trouble, potentially. Verse 39. And they came and besought them, and they begged Paul and Silas, "Please, leave. Don't give us a hard time about this." They came and they besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. They didn't want any trouble. They were trying to dodge a bullet here. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. So Paul didn't give the magistrates a hard time. He didn't press charges against the magistrates, which is what he could have done. He could have appealed to Caesar, and they would have been dead. He didn't do that. Instead, Paul accepted their apology. He was being very gracious to them. You see, the issue for Paul and Silas wasn't so much their suffering, unjust as it was. That was not really the big issue. The issue for Paul and Silas was for the public to understand that they were not criminals. And so the magistrates had to make it clear that they were not criminals. Why? Because they wanted to make certain that their reputation was intact. And not just their reputation, but more importantly, the reputation of the one they represented, namely Jesus Christ. That's what was at stake here. And they didn't want to be seen as evildoers, as lawbreakers, because Jesus wouldn't promote something like that. So he wanted that to be made clear, that they had not broken the law. So that's what was at stake here. That's why Paul demanded that they treat him and Silas correctly to make up for this. But the apostle was not interested in revenge. He just wanted people to be saved, and he didn't want anybody to be turned off from Christ thinking that Jesus was a lawbreaker or that his people promoted that sort of thing. God does not promote the breaking of any laws.